Hello, my name's Tom Boone, and this week I'm joined by our US and loyalty lead, Jonathan Hendry. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
In this episode of the Simple Flying podcast, we're going to take a look at SAS's impending Star Alliance exit, what that means for you, and a couple of other little interesting tidbits from what's going on in loyalty this week as we've got Jonathan. So now you know what's in store, let's get on with the show. And I wanted to start really by giving a background of what is happening with SAS right now. So a couple of days ago, as we're recording this, on Monday morning, I believe, Scandinavia's SAS revealed that it's going to leave the Star Alliance on August 31st. Now, the airline's revealed that it's in advanced negotiations with SkyTeam and its members, suggesting that it may not instantly become a member itself. However, it did reveal that its Eurobonus members should be able to start claiming frequent flyer benefits with most SkyTeam carriers from September 1st. So, you know, SAS was one of the founding members of the Star Alliance. It really was there from day one. But unfortunately, the carrier found itself in tricky financial waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, and it had to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the US at one point. Now, it's been rescued by Air France KLM, and, you know, both Air France and KLM are in SkyTeam, so they don't really want an airline in their group that is part of a rival alliance. They're key members of SkyTeam, so this is where SAS swap is really coming from. Thankfully, you know, if you've got plans booked this summer with Star Alliance carriers and you're an SAS member, you're in the clear. Because in an announcement, SAS revealed that eligible Eurobonus members will continue to enjoy the current Star Alliance Silver and Star Alliance Gold benefits they currently do, up to and including August 31st. However, these will cease to exist from September 1st, and while this will disappoint some members, like myself, it might be a boon for others who would prefer to fly on SkyTeam carriers. So, commenting on the transition, the chief commercial officer at SAS is a guy called Paul Verhagen, and he revealed, "We're thrilled to progress on our alliance transition journey and pave the way for delightful new destinations and loyalty program benefits across the world. Our focus now is to guide customers and our Eurobonus members on each step during this transition. We look forward to sharing more details as our journey progresses, with the aim to create a smooth transition to an exciting travel future with us." So, you know, I wanted to look in a bit more at what happens now. As we know, it takes quite a long time to join an airline alliance. If you look at Oman Air, they are looking to join the Oneworld Alliance and have been since June 2022. Now, they're finally expected to gain their membership in the second half of this year, and this means that SAS is unlikely to instantly be a member of SkyTeam upon leaving Star Alliance, just with the timelines involved. However, it's already worked on a plan for its frequent flyers, so no one's just going to be left in the lurch in like a transition period. It said Eurobonus Silver members will enjoy benefits such as extra baggage allowance and priority check-in with most SkyTeam airlines. Now, I think that's even an upgrade on what they get right now, because I think the extra baggage allowance right now is a Star Alliance Gold benefit. So, you know, that will certainly be a little increase. It says Eurobonus Gold and Diamond members, though, will enjoy benefits such as lounge access, fast track, and priority boarding with most SkyTeam airlines. So that's similar to what we have now. But one thing that hasn't been clarified, SAS hasn't revealed exactly which airlines are going to fall into the category most SkyTeam airlines. And at this point, it revealed more details will be shared as soon as possible. Now, I would imagine that a deal has already been, I would imagine the deals right now are being worked out more on an airline by airline basis within SkyTeam rather than with the alliance, which is where this is probably coming from. One would expect that KLM and Air France are going to be a no-brainer for benefit reciprocality. I don't know the word there, but one would assume that they would be a no-brainer just because they're the ones that are requiring SAS, so it will be in their interest. And I guess they have quite a bit of clout within this alliance to kind of push other members to get in line with that. It's just, I'd love to see which of the airlines it is that aren't actually doing this right now, but I don't think we'll ever know that. But, you know, there's also going to be some changes to earning and spending miles. And as expected, SAS members can continue to earn miles on Star Alliance flights until August 31st. Essentially, until August 31st, nothing changes. Everything changes on September 1st. And that means that from September 1st, SAS customers will be able to earn miles with most SkyTeam airlines rather than on Star Alliance airlines. And they will have until September 8th, actually, to claim missing points from previous Star Alliance flights. Now, regarding spending points, it's a little bit of a different situation. So actually, passengers can make new bookings on Star Alliance carriers right up to and including August 31st. And that's even if the travel date is later, as long as they would be eligible. So rebooking is possible also with Star Alliance carriers until August 31st. But if you wanted to rebook after August 31st, say, I guess, for example, you'd booked, I don't know, Frankfurt to London on Lufthansa. You would be able to rebook that, but you would have to move on to SAS or certain SkyTeam airlines. So you'd probably end up with a connection in Copenhagen or Paris or Amsterdam, which would probably actually cost you more points as well. I don't know. Maybe you can touch on that a bit more in a second, Jonathan. But from September 1st, Eurobonus members can also make new bookings on SkyTeam Airlines. So, you know, what do you think about that, Jonathan, especially with this rebooking policy?
I think it's a nice move that they're allowing passengers to book forward bookings past September, as long as they're, you know, on Star Alliance carriers. The only thing that is probably going to change is that you're not necessarily going to have the same benefits that you would have had as a Star Alliance you know, gold member, for instance, on this flight that you would, you know, if you go away for Christmas. So when I asked the Star Alliance about it, they said it would be up to the airline, you know, how they treat these individual instances. But it will be interesting to see, for sure.
How do you think they would treat it, if you had to guess?
I feel like if your booking would say was booked as a, you know, Honor Circle member or whatever, then it would still show up for the airline. And I think that nobody's really out here to, you know, kind of alienate passengers, especially if it's an airline that you would continue to fly. For instance, if you lived in a Star Alliance hub like Chicago, you're going to continue to fly them, even if, you know, your loyalty is now with SkyTeam based on your airline allowance.
Yeah, I do see that, although I do kind of see the cynical, like, why bother? You know, it's like not our problem from airlines, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. What do you think personally on SAS versus SkyTeam? Which would you rather be in?
The Star Alliance versus SkyTeam?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Well, I see. I live very far from an airport and not near a significant hub, but I think there's going to be a very interesting shift, I believe, in where, you know, where you're going to be able to redeem your miles to fly as well. So that just really depends on what your travel patterns are and where you're going. But yeah.
I mean, it would be a bit of a disappointment for me, because I live in this Star Alliance hub called Frankfurt, and if I needed to go anywhere with SkyTeam, I would now have to go via Copenhagen or Paris or Amsterdam. But do you want to tell me a little bit more about how people like me might be able to navigate this moving forward?
Yeah, so it's going to be really interesting to see how people at Transit will fly with new airlines, and how airlines are going to try to soak up these customers that are SAS loyalists that might continue to, like you said, live in a city that primarily has Star Alliance flights out of it. So I think one of the interesting things we'll see is other Star Alliance carriers launching status matches to bring back, you know, SAS customers back into the Star Alliance. I know United Airlines has a very generous status match policy, which doesn't currently include SAS, but because it's obviously in the same alliance, but I think that's something that add in the future. British Airways added for US customers and Canadian customers the option to match their SAS status to British Airways Executive Club Gold, and then they would have One World, which is a completely different alliance, but it would still be the same, you know, lounge access and priority benefits that they were seeing when they were flying with SAS in the Star Alliance.
It seems like this is really a big opportunity for every airline that could possibly pinch new passengers rather than a disadvantage.
Yes, for sure, because it's very rare that we have such a seismic shift in the airline industry. I mean, there's not a lot of examples really in the past, but even looking forward, you know, you have, for instance, Aer Lingus, when they left the One World Alliance, they actually ended up having a code share with United, which is a Star Alliance partner. So it'll be really interesting to see how airlines navigate this and how they make sure that customers are getting the best value without losing money.
And what are the current ways to sort of status match into the SAS Alliance if, you know, you also had status elsewhere maybe that you wanted to bring into to keep an SAS in Star Alliance?
And into Star Alliance? Yeah, so the big ones now, we just talked about it, were United Airlines. They have a very good program. Turkish Airlines as well. They don't have an outright just page that you do it automatically, but you can send them your, you know, screenshots of your existing, for instance, if you had, you know, SAS Gold or something, and then they'll match it to their program. And they also have a very good network, obviously, throughout Europe and internationally. Singapore Airlines also sometimes has these kind of promotions running. So it's worth checking to see if any of the other, you know, areas in Europe as well, you have, you know, other smaller carriers, national carriers that offer programs that you ask as well. So it'll be nice to see how they all react to this.
Mm. And I know you briefly mentioned just then the British Airways status match. Can you dial into that a bit more for me and tell me what that's all about? I mean, I know we talked a couple of weeks back about the Royal Jordanian status match, I think, which I ended up doing. But, you know, if there's ever a chance to be a BA silver member instead of a gold sparrow, I'd jump on that in a heartbeat.
Gold Sparrow is a much more dramatic name, though. yeah, it's actually really interesting to see. They very rarely do matches at this level and this broadly and openly. Obviously, with the Royal Jordanian, and there's another Sky Team status match challenge going as well that are paid. So you would have to pay for an admin fee to transfer. But the British Airways one is actually, it's really simple. You just apply online. I think you have till the end of the week. And they'll sort it out within 5 days. If you're approved, you'll get all of the benefits of coming with a higher One World status, lounge access and priority baggage, and you know, checking in and things like that. And it will last for 6 months. If you want to extend it beyond 6 months, you have to take one round trip flight in a premium cabin, I think business or first, and then it will stay until the end of your current tier year. So that can be a really great way to gain status. Again, it's only for US and Canadians. Sadly for people here in Europe, at home, British Airways has extended their promotion for booking when you book a holiday. So that would be like a flight with a car or a flight with a hotel. You get double tier points, which is the points you need to progress to the next status. So I'm imagining in the near future that they will see an opportunity to reach out to customers in Europe, especially that will now, you know, transit, you know, to try to drag traffic back to their hub in Heathrow.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could always make the state, the sort of point that, okay, if you've already got One World Emerald, why do you want British Airways silver? But I guess, you know, there's these little things that are certain to an airline, like the priority phone line, for example. I think you need to be an airline member to get that. And sometimes it can be a little pain not having that. But, you know,
the British Airways actually even has a little city hopper that goes around Scandinavian countries as well, like Billund and Denmark, I think, that you can do that, or just they don't even touch British soil. You know, they go just in Europe. So that'll
be they're the little four-engine babies. I'd love to go on that one day. Operated by Sunair, I think, with the British Airways name. That's on my to-do list, definitely one day. You know, anything else interesting going on in the world of loyalty right now, in your opinion?
Yeah, the other big thing that's come out in recent weeks is Qantas down in Australia. They've had a lot of feedback about their loyalty program. They've just introduced, I believe, 20 million seat offerings that you can now book, and a whole new way to use your points so that people can start flying more, which previously people had found an issue with. So I think this will be really exciting to see how customers respond to that. And look at all these new opportunities that are available for them to redeem their points there in Australia.
And what are those opportunities in terms of, you know, like for a random person with points?
They opened up a lot more seats, so that weren't previously available for points. So now that you can book seats that you would normally just, you know, a lot of times you would have a flight that only had a certain amount of reward points seats.
And I guess that could, what do you think that indicates that we might get some more Qantas points planes down the line, or that's still a way off?
It would be interesting. And also SAS has their points planes, their destination unknown.
True. That actually happened recently. Did you know where that went?
No, I had to look it up. I remember seeing that it was taking off, but I never actually tracked it. But that'll be a really interesting thing to see develop too. I hope they continue doing those.
Yeah, no, I meant to track it as well, but didn't get around to it. So that will be my homework after this podcast. I think they got back on Monday. So if you did fly with SAS and on the points plane, let us know where you went. And yeah, we would be interested to talk about that. So, I mean, what are your key takeaways from what we've talked about today, if you had to summarize it in a few sentences?
I think the thing is just to pay attention to when you can take advantage of travel, right? And see if it's somewhere you wanted to go that's served by a Star Alliance carrier exclusively or with fewer connections, to try to get that booking in before the autumn. And then you can wait until obviously September if you want to go to more SkyTeam destinations. And I think it'd be really interesting to see how the networks adapt as well to kind of fill capacity. But Star Alliance obviously said they still are very well represented in Scandinavia, even with the exit of SAS. So I think for travelers, they're not going to see too much of a difference. You know, obviously we have a change of connection location, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how all of this evolves. And as always, you know, when there are updates, we will post them on our website as soon as possible.
For sure.
I think that's about all we've got time for on today's podcast. And both Jonathan and I hope you enjoyed it. And we do welcome, as always, any feedback at editorial@simpleflying.com. As always, for more great content, you can visit our website at simpleflying.com or find us on social media by searching for Simple Flying. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating on your favorite podcast player. And Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure, as always.